Hey, Mark.
Ah.
Mark and I thought we'd take a cozier approach to preaching today. Do something fun since it's the first time we've had a chance to preach together. So what we're hoping to do today is to preach a little bit on our new mission. Some of you may have seen our tagline, and it's on the front of the bulletin underneath our name, Inward, Outward, Together. And that is a shortened version of our mission, which is that we seek to grow together both inward in our spiritual lives and outward in our relationships with each other, with our community, and with our world. And we do this because we want to reach a broken and hurting world for Jesus. And so we're going to talk a little bit about what that means for us and what it means to go inward, what it means. I'm going to talk about that for a few minutes. Mark's going to talk for a few minutes what it looks like to go outward. And then we're going to talk together for a couple more minutes on what that looks like to do it together. So if you want to pull your scripture sheet out, I'm going to be referencing our scriptures quite a lot. We had some really good ones today. So I want all of us to begin by imagining a tree. I want you to picture a tree in your mind. What does that tree look like? A big, beautiful, magnificent tree. What kind of tree is it? For me, it's a maple tree. Is it an oak tree? Is it a pine tree? Is it some other kind of tree that you just love, you've always admired? What does it look like? What do the leaves look like? Are they filling the tree with a spectrum of color as they do in the fall? Or are they just beginning to bud as they do in spring? What does it smell like? The poet Joyce Kilmer said, "I think that I shall never see a poem as lovely as a tree." What are some words that you would use to describe your tree? Alive, sturdy, rooted, productive, strong, bearing fruit, beautiful. Well, Psalm 1 tells us that this tree, these trees we're picturing in our minds, that they can be the picture of your life. Our lives can be filled with life. Our lives can be rooted, our lives can be productive, and our lives can be beautiful. But how? Well, Psalm 1 tells us, by taking delight in God's teaching. What does it mean to meditate on the law, to meditate on God's teaching? Now, I think sometimes we, in our kind of 21st century brains, we think meditate just means, okay, I go find a quiet place in a corner and I read my Bible and pray. Well, yeah, that's part of it. But when we dig into the Hebrew, we find that when the Jews talked about meditating on God's word, it was a little bit noisier. So the Hebrew word that's translated meditate is haggah. And this same Hebrew word occurs in Isaiah 31:4, which says, as a lion or a young lion growls over its prey. So in this verse, haggah is translated growl. Well, that's interesting. How can a word mean both meditate and growl? It's kind of weird. So I think to find our answer, I want us to read this psalm the same way it's read in a traditional Jewish setting. So I want you to grab your scripture bulletin and everyone stand up if you can. We are going to now read Psalm 1, 1 through 3 together, but we are not going to read it in sync. Hear that. We are not going to read it in sync. I want you in a moment to begin reading, but to read at your own pace, in your own way, and not trying to follow along someone else. So some of you will read rather quickly, some a little more slowly, some very loudly, some not quite as loud. So I'm actually going to put the microphone down so that you don't follow me, because I really want us to read this at our own pace. All right, let's begin. Blessed is the one who walks in the
seat of mockers, but his delight.
But whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on it law day and night. Great job. You can take a seat. So what was the purpose of that? Well, this is what the word Haggah means, to meditate aloud, what we just did by reading the psalm out loud. But it means more than just to meditate. It means to do it aloud in the company of others. And when that happens, I don't know if you noticed, it sounds a little bit like growling. It's kind of noisy and loud and messy, and it doesn't all happen at once. It's not quiet contemplation, but it is community meditation. God intends for us to delight in the law of the Lord together. So we see in Psalm 1 the need to delight in the law of the Lord, to meditate on God's teaching at all time. But what is that law? Because you see, there are 613 commands in the Old Testament. 613 laws that God's people were expected to follow. Now, knowing that this was next to impossible, a lawyer seeking to stump Jesus in our Matthew 22 passage, he asks, okay, which of these 613 laws is the greatest? Now, assuming that this carpenter's son from Nazareth couldn't possibly be as smart as any of the Pharisees or Sadducees standing around, they sought to trap Jesus by asking him this question because it posed a theological problem. How can one law be greater than the other if the law of the Lord is perfect? And just like we do today, the Jews got caught up in ranking sin and categorizing laws into greater and lesser commands. And so the religious leaders were hoping to kind of catch Jesus in that same thing. But Jesus responds by reciting the Shema in Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 5, which is, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength." Just kidding, the mind part wasn't in there. Jesus added that bit. So, what's interesting is that the truth about God in the Shema, that God is one, is linked, intrinsically linked, with the command to love. Because God is who God is, we're commanded to love with our heart, mind, soul, and strength. But then Jesus surprises everyone by adding a command from Leviticus 9:18, which says, "You shall love your neighbor as yourself." But he adds something really important to it. He prefaces it by saying, "The second is like the first." That is, the second commandment to love neighbor is as important as loving God. The two commands are equal. To love God is to love neighbor. And all of the laws and prophets hang on this. Now, Mark's going to talk more in a minute on what that really looks like, what it means to go outward, what it means to care for our neighbor. But going inward, maturing in our faith, growing closer to God, is not the end point. We grow spiritually. We meditate on God's teaching so that we can bear fruit, so that we can love our neighbor and our enemy. The point of going inward is so that we can go outward. One of my favorite songs by an amazing group called the Common Hymnal says that when we see Jesus, we become like Jesus. And when we become like Jesus, we will never be the same. God calls us to go inward, to meditate on his word, to meditate on the teaching of the Bible, not just so we can read it, but so we can be changed by it. God's law that we should meditate on day and night is the law of love. The late author and theologian Rachel Held Evans says it this way, and she said it so succinctly, I couldn't think of any other way than just to read to you all what she wrote. She writes, "Love, it's that simple and that profound. It's that easy and that hard. Taking the yoke of Jesus is not about signing a doctrinal statement or making an intellectual commitment to a set of propositions. It isn't about being right or getting our facts straight. It's about loving God and loving other people. The yoke is hard because the teachings of Jesus are radical. Enemy love, unconditional forgiveness, extreme generosity. The yoke is easy because it is accessible to all, the studied and the ignorant, the rich and the poor, the religious and the non-religious. Whether we like it or not, love is available to all people everywhere to be interpreted differently, applied differently, screwed up differently, and manifested differently. Because love is bigger than faith. It's bigger than works, for it inhabits and transcends both. And as we see in Jesus' commands, the two greatest commands, to love God and love neighbor, our love for God is bigger. God's love is bigger than our faith. And our love for our neighbor should be bigger than simply our works we do towards them. See, when we see the law as a set of rules or theological propositions or doctrinal statements to believe in, and I'm not saying that I don't believe in certain doctrinal statements, but when that's what we meditate on, we're missing the point, because Jesus shows us that the whole point of the law was the point to loving God and loving neighbor. The whole reason the rules were created in the first place was to create healthy, thriving communities of people who loved God and loved each other. The law was meant to help us do that, but as we've seen in the past, sometimes the law itself became a hindrance to God's work. Like when Jesus healed on the Sabbath, he broke the law, but he loved God and loved neighbor in that moment. So we go inward, and we grow in our faith not to get all the facts straight or to get it more right than someone else or to learn the Bible better so we can win in a series of arguments to try and argue people into faith. Rather, we go inward to grow in our love for God by understanding God's love for us so that we can then grow in our love for our neighbors. That's what it means to go inward. I'm going to turn it over to Mark now.
Hey, thanks. This is kind of like hanging out at home. Would this be cool? I mean, we're just hanging out and chatting and talking.
And does it? Out of our coffee cups.
It's a great deal. So Pastor Alicia was talking about inward, and I'm going to talk a little bit about outward. But as we'll notice, it begins to do the mind meld. Using Spock's word, he's doing a meld that begins to be one and the same. And so what is outward? Is this really a fun exercise, talking about outward? You know how I'm always saying, it's fun to be here at church. It's fun. Isn't this great? Well, maybe this outward is the tougher part, going out and doing ministry. This is like enjoying homework, isn't it? You know, you're in class and the teacher assigns you something. This is going to be fun, and you hear in the back, it's not fun. I don't want homework. And so is going outward, is that like having homework? But this is a totally weird part for me. The more you do it, so now let's take our mind off it being homework and look at it as being reaching out. And the more you reach out and begin to reach out to others, the more it becomes part of you. It becomes part of your nature, and you cannot help but to do it. And you want to do it more and more. Does that sound right to you? Or does it sound like I'm just trying to kid you around? It sounds right to me. And for an example, I'll do something totally unorthodox, which is the kind of thing I do. Have any of you seen the film Scrooged with Bill Murray? I mean, we're coming up on Christmas, you know, and he's this grumpy guy, and he's modern, and he's this corporate dude. and he has this aha moment, and he interrupts the filming of their Christmas special, and he goes out, and everybody's ready to kill him. They want to cut the feed, and remember, he says, the more you do goodwill, the more you do it, the more you want it, and you're gonna want more of it. Do any of you remember this? And he's all impassioned. I remember the first time I watched it, it felt spiritual to me. I thought, yeah. And he says, you can't stop. And then he ends the movie by having everyone saying, put a little love in your heart. You're remembering it, maybe? Just go like this and humor me, okay? He says, now the men. No, the real men. Now the women. No, the real women. And he's just getting everybody to sing about putting a little heart, love in your heart. And remember, it's think of your fellow man, lend him a helping hand, put a little love in your heart, and the world will be a better place. And the world will be a better place for you and me. You just wait and see. I'm doing that on purpose to see if you start going, I'm catching the fever, good fever. I want this. And another thing happens. Each one of us grows individually, right? You go home and you go, oh, that was fantastic. I loved it. And then we keep it all to ourselves. No. We have to tell somebody about it. You just have to. And then it's a win-win, right? Because it begins to be corporate. We're all sharing it. We're each doing it, but we're all sharing it. And it's more than a win-win. It's a Jesus command. As Pastor Alicia was saying, love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul. And then he added, with all your mind. And then the second one is as unto that. Loving your neighbor begins to be a way of life. And then you know what happens? I know you're going to freak on this. You don't even want to retire from it, do you? You just want to do it for the rest of your life. How can you retire from it when there is such fulfillment? It is such an absolutely awesome thing. And one more thing. What happens if all you do is come to church and sure, we're having fun, and you're blessed out of your socks? You're just sitting there and you're going, oh, Lord, feed me. This is the best. I love all the worship today was great. I just love singing to you. I love how you bless me. The word was fantastic. Can't wait to come back next week. But that's all I want, really. You know, I'm just going to keep it there. And you get fatter and fatter spiritually. And it's the best, right? But you know what? You're going to burst. Because we were made to be a channel for God's blessing. You don't want to drink from the fire hose. You want to have an outlet on the side so that you don't just blow up. You want to be able to pass that along to other people. And as the Lord promises Abraham, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless you immeasurably. There's going to be more descendants than the stars you see, than the sands. And how does that happen? Because he says, you're blessed to be a blessing. You can't keep it for yourself. You're going to want to share it because the Lord wants you to, but you just can't help it. You got to share it. We're here to serve others, and in that way, we can bless the Lord as well. So maybe we should talk about how this happens in a together sense. What does it mean, Pastor Alicia?
Well, considering this is something we're all doing together as a church, I want to hear from all of you, and I'm going to take a page from Mark's book. I think it was last week you did this, to ask, what do you guys think it means for us to go inward together? What does it look like for Trinity to grow in our relationship with God as a community? And if you would be so bold, I would love folks to just start shouting things out. What does it mean for us to grow in our faith as a community?
To be alive with everyone?
To be alive. What does that look like? What are some ways we could do that?
Reach out.
Reach out. Yeah, and that's very true, because I think sometimes we think that growing spiritually, or even growing in fellowship with each other, right? We want to grow in our own spiritual lives, but we also want to grow in our community and our relationships with each other, because iron sharpens iron, right? Three strands strong can't break. When we're together, we help each other on in our faith. But often we miss out on how, when we go out into our community and do things together for our community, that is a time when we're not just growing in our relationship with our community, but we're growing in our relationships with each other and with God. Other ideas. How can we grow together in our faith?
More opportunities to be together.
Yes.
Study God's word together.
More opportunities, maybe for Bible study and classes. What else?
Wouldn't it be great if we could do tons of term papers about this?
What about groups? What about groups formed around activities that we do already? What about groups formed around things that we like to do, even if they're just fun? Any other ideas on how we can grow inward by being together? If you, going forward from this week, if you think of something, if you say, this is Pastor Alicia, Pastor Mark, I thought of this, I think this would be a really important way for us to grow inward together, please send us an email. We want to hear from you. We want this, what we're doing now with our new mission and all of the newness that's happening here, we want this to be something we do together, not just something that happens to you. You are a part of this. We want to hear from you what it looks like to grow inward together. Yes.
For me, one of the greatest ways I grow inward is being a church leader. And working together in our groups and our doors and serving the church as a whole. And that has helped me so much spiritually grow my faith.
Awesome. Serving on church leadership is a wonderful way to grow inward together and to also help our church grow outward together. So now, I'm going to pass it to Mark, who's going to pose a similar question.
Yeah, and I just want to tag team off of that. I'm going to name drop a few of you. I didn't get permission to do this, but I think you'll be okay with it. Some of these are outward reaching things that got started because of someone's vision, and other people got so excited about it, they joined it. And I'm talking about Larry, I'm talking about Lorraine, John, Grace, with the affordable recovery housing, and how awesome that has been. And then the excitement with doing affordable recovery church, which is the church over in their facility. And because of that, we have more people joining. And Pastor Alicia and I have been able to tag team preaching with other pastors, and it is absolutely a blast. And then Joy just got totally joyful. She just went crazy and wanted to be there. And then Greg was bringing Kendra, and she was so excited. Okay, I'm name dropping too much because I'll forget somebody. But it is just a thrill to watch how that happens. Tracy, I was thinking about you this week, and I was praying that you would be here, and the Lord has answered my prayer. Because I saw you, I'm going to name drop Tracy. He brings me a 1/32nd scale slot car, racing car. He says, Pastor Mark, this one's for you. And he opens his case, and he, you know, like some people carry their cue stick in a case? He opens it up, and it's race cars. And I'm like, yes, this is the coolest thing ever. And he says, what can we do to attract junior high and maybe even high school kids, maybe even fifth and sixth graders to the church to do racing around a track? I have the track. I'll bring it. All I want to do is to give you crazy ideas. I mean, that's not a normal thing. When you go into a church, yeah, we got an outreach over here. We got this. Oh, we got slot car racing in the back. Oh, yeah, my church does that. What? You know, I mean, they're different kinds of things. Yes, Tracy. Oh, my goodness. This is... Oh, my goodness. You're blessing me right now. I hope that you catch this excitement. This is absolutely a thrill. Another thing, the Argentina mission trip is looming. And I am blessed out of my socks how many of us are going, how incredible that is going to be. And we're going to get more information to you every single week. But I wanted to just do one other thing. I have to, okay. You'll give us a little forbearance today. This is a weird Sunday, a good Sunday, but I'm already looking and like, hey, check the time. But this is incredible because we started confirmation this week. Allie Ford had said, oh my goodness, I'll be by myself. And so we were trying to figure out how do we make this work where we have other kids. And a lady calls me on the phone and says, I was confirmed years ago. Do you still do confirmation? I said, yes. She said, could I have my daughter confirmed there? And I said, no, absolutely not. I just said, yes, this is incredible. And we just had both of them on Wednesday, and it's phenomenal. The Lord will answer in ways we have no idea. So I had, here is this point, faith and enrichment, discipleship, confirmation. It's what we do to fortify the youth in our church, and we make a mistake if we think, I've been confirmed, it's all done. It's not. I heard some of you saying, I want to do more study, more Bible study, Sunday school class. It's not just for ourselves, it's for our spiritual health as well. We've seen studies when we begin to lose our cognitive abilities because we're not stimulating our minds. And you know, we need to stimulate our souls as well. I have something that I need to share with you, and it's just a little bizarre. Years ago, I had a fellow seminarian, and he did a whole research thing on the Covenant Church, and he wanted to find out how the growth pattern went. And so he noticed that through the years, there would be outreach and planting of churches. And then the covenant would, as a denomination, nationwide, would stop. And what would they do? They would shore up all that church planting and do major discipleship and major Bible study to teach all those people that had come in. And you'd think that it would be stair-stepped. Church growth, learning. Church growth, learning. Does that make sense? And so that the graph would go like this. What he discovered was the graph went church growth, and then as they stopped the church planting, it went down like this while they were fortifying everyone. And then it went up a little bit, and then it went down. And it was just a little bit of a percentage. It wasn't going that well. So what his proposal was is we need to do both and. We need to do them both at the same time. You plant and you fortify. And people go, that's too hard. It's too much. You know what? It's loving your Lord with all your heart and soul and loving your neighbor as yourself. You're doing both at the same time. And you know what? It is hard. But guess what? It's so stinking rewarding. Mm. It's just incredible. So I have a lot of other things to share here, and I'm going to respect the time, but I do want to have just this one other piece. Oh, I could wait. We got the logo thing. Okay, I'll save this for later.
Kyle, can you put the logo, the one slide for the sermon up? So Mark makes exactly the point that I think we're both trying to make in talking about inward and outward and doing it together. The inward, outward, together, the together piece means both, that we do inward things together as a community, we do outward things together as a community, but the together piece also means that we do the inward and outward together. That at the same time we're growing in our faith and growing in our love for God, we are also going out and growing in our love for our neighbor by helping our neighbor, by loving our neighbor. We need those, they're like a reciprocal thing, right? Where as we grow in love for God, that spills over and causes us to love our neighbor. And as we grow in love for neighbor, that actually helps us grow in love for Christ. Because if we take Jesus at his word, if we take him seriously, when he gives us the two greatest commands, you don't get to pick. You don't get to do just loving God or just loving neighbor. You have to do both. So I wanted to just take a second before we finish up here to talk about our new logo, because it can look a little odd if you don't know the meaning behind it, and we wanted to make sure that that was explained. When this logo was designed for us by Fishhook, they actually designed a number of logos, and we got to pick. So this was the one we picked. And the reason we loved it so much was for a number of reasons. One, we just thought it was really dynamic. It struck all of us just right away. And one of the things we loved about it being dynamic was that the groups of three triangles look like people together. And it looks like they're both moving inward and outward. It actually looks like it's moving a little bit. And so we loved that dynamic inward-outward motion that the image seemed to have. It also forms a cross, and it also incorporates our triangles that we have that are so prevalent in our building and are representative of our name, Trinity, and of the Trinity. So for us, this logo really seemed to encapsulate so much of what Trinity has been. With our triangles, with the cross, with our focus on each other and togetherness. That was a huge part that came out in our sessions, our discovery sessions, was how important it was for us to be together. I think the answer to what breakfast food would be, the overwhelming answer, was Swedish coffee cake. Although I know bacon was also given as an answer as well. But the together piece of who we were as a community was really important. And then it also really encapsulated what we hope to be, what we hope we are becoming, a community that moves both inward together and outward together. So we wanted to take a second just to share that with you so that you knew that the logo had meaning behind it. It wasn't just a picture for a picture's sake, but that a lot of thought and a lot of theological significance has been invested into this logo, and we can talk about that more. And then the same thing with our website. Our website was created because we wanted to create a platform to reach out to people in our community. We wanted to create a way to welcome people in, but to also reach out. Because if we sit in here and expect them just to come in because we have some flags now, they're not going to. We have to go out, meet people where they are, build relationships with them, and then hopefully they'll come in and join our community. So Mark's going to finish up our time together here, but I wanted a chance to talk just a little bit about our logo.
Thanks. I concur with that. It just feels like the center part is alive. Sometimes you look at it and you think, is that moving? Is it really moving? It just feels energized. Mm. One of the things that was great when I was in my doctoral program, is one of my professors was Paul Hebert, and he's a great missiologist. And he said one day in one of our classes, any worship which does not spring from mission is truncated worship. I'm going to say it again. Any worship which does not spring from mission or even cause mission is truncated worship. Truncated is cut short or even, if you will, messed up. And so the fact that we would worship and not do anything about it once we leave means it's truncated. It's not full. It's not fulfilled. And I remember thinking about that, and I mean, I thought about it for weeks afterward. And I know that you know that I've been a missionary for much of my life, and you think, well, maybe that's just his bent. But if you look back, even at Acts 4, and I love this verse where it says, and they had everything in common. What did that mean? They ate together, they studied together, they reached out together, they brought money in together and shared it with those who didn't have. They would sell things so that everyone would have enough. And what happened because they did that? And the Lord was adding to their number every day. I mean, talk about a formula and a recipe. Like, well, what do we do to grow our church? Well, maybe we should do that. I think it's absolutely awesome. It's encouraging. It's inspiring. And I'm going to bring this up again. Remember when I was praying for these pews to begin to be filled, and now they pretty much are on this side? Now I'm looking over at the pews on this side, and I'm thinking, we got to fill those. And I don't know how it's going to happen, but it's probably going to happen pretty soon because we're getting real serious about it in a good way. Okay. Shall we pray and close this time off? Yeah, okay. Father, thank you so much for this time of sharing with each other. Thank you for Pastor Alicia. Thank you for the things that we can talk about, the things that we can learn from each other, the things that all of us can learn from each other, even within this congregation, as we seek to go inward, causing us to go outward, and causing us to do it together. Everything we do should be done together, and that will honor you, honor your name, and bring more people to you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.
We're going to now have a time of some response through singing. So if you feel led to stand, we're going to sing two songs together. The first is a hymn, which I don't have in front of me. Which
580.
One?
God bless
580, God bless your church with strength. And that'll be followed by the song Oceans from Hillsong.